Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Father, we just give you thanks for love. We thank you, God, for saving us. We thank you, God, for removing us from suffering and putting us to sleep so that our very loved ones could stop hurting, so that our very loved ones could enjoy a quality of life, one that you talk about in your word, so we can get on the next assignment to see exactly what you want us to do, that who you want us to touch, who you want us to bless. Father, the fact of the matter is, most if not all of us, we have a desire, though small it may be, to do what is right. But you have things, we have things, God, that is preventing us or holding us back. I pray in the name of Jesus that today you remove those things. Help us to receive, God, what you have for us. Help us to receive the strength we need to move on and forward to do the work that you have called us to do. Every single person under my voice, every person that's watching online, Father, may we meet in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Yes. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Come on, we can do better than that. Come on. Happy Sabbath, everyone. That was only two people. I'll try one more time. Happy Sabbath, everyone. There we go. It is amazing to be in the house of the Lord. I want to echo what Marilyn said and say a happy birthday to Jason and to every other person that's celebrating a birthday. See how Jason looking like he's about to audition for the next James Bond role. In the back, I want to say also, many years ago, Elder Sterling, we planted a mango tree, Tracy, on the church property. And I don't know why it took so long, but we planted, I'm going to say we, because I'm going to put myself in it. and that tree finally have mangoes on it. And some of y'all don't like mangoes, and it's okay. It's fine. Some of us, we love it way too much. And so last week, Soli, there was a mango on the tree that was yellowish. And I looked around, and I see who I could enjoy this mango with, and there was nobody there. Jason wasn't there. Robert wasn't there. I was like, where's my friends? Where's my family at? Where's everybody? Rachel wasn't here. And I'm not going to lie. I was happy. And so I took that mango home and we enjoyed it, myself and Renee and Cairo. I didn't really want to share it, but I was trying to think, weigh the odds, get locked out the house, mango, trying to weigh. And so I'm grateful for that. I also want to say, you turn me up a little bit more in the monitors, George. I also want to say, we will have Vespers this evening. I'm going to invite everyone to log on. Everybody got a phone? Where's a phone? Everybody got a phone? Ain't nobody got a phone? We only have Androids in here? Only Androids? I'm the only one with that? So log on to Vespers this evening. It's going to be amazing. It's at 7 o'clock. What time, everybody? 7 o'clock. If you're celebrating anything at all, we celebrate with you. I want to jump right in the word. I won't be long. It is 12:27, right? Don't look at the time when I came up here. Start right now, 12:27. I won't be long, and I want us to quickly stand And I want us to read aloud the text for today. It is taken from Mark 5. Jason would help me with that slides on the screen. It's taken from Mark 5, 21 to 34. I want us to read it with power. All right, Ani, I want power. I want us to all stand and read it with power and energy. Who is sleepy? Akil, you sleepy? I said, who's sleepy? And he yawned. All right. And so we're going to read it. Mark chapter 5. This is the NIV version. Mark chapter 5. I'm going to read verse 21 to 34. All right. Here we go. All right. Here we go. After three. Real loud, very powerful. After three, one, two, three. All right, hold on. We always start very strong. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat, I want, give me some life, a lot of life, all right? A matter of fact, I'm gonna do something. Let's see who I can ask. Nate, I'm gonna have you grab the mic. And you are going to be the voice of Jesus, all right? You're going to be the voice of Jesus. So what you see in red, you're going to read. And if you read it very loud and very, very strong, Mommy has a surprise for you that she's going to give you on Monday. All right. So here we go. If Tracy, don't let me down. Here we go, everybody. So we got to help Nate, okay? Here we go. We're going back. Mark chapter 5, 21, 34. Very loud after three. One, two, three. Next verse. Let's read that one more time. One more time. After three. One, two, three. So that she will be what? All right. A large crowd what? And pressed around him. All right. Here we go. How many years?
12
years. All right. Nate, get ready. Get ready, Nate. Get ready. All right. Truth. Here we go. Nate, get ready.
He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering."
Come on, put your hands together. Yes. My title for today is I'm sick of this. Turn to your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, I'm sick of this." Turn to the other neighbor, say, "Neighbor, I'm sick of this." Amen. Amen. You may be seated. We all have something in common, and that is a particular friend. A matter of fact, I'll go and I'll say that for some of us, this individual is our best friend. Ricky, Jessica, you know, Rachel, Robert, Marilyn, you know, Tracy, even Nate, who did so great the voice of Jesus. We all have this individual that I am calling our friend. The crazy thing is sometimes, Robert, we diss this friend. We dismiss this friend. We avoid this friend. We decline their FaceTime calls. And for those with Androids, what do y'all use? What do y'all use? Huh? WhatsApp. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. You decline that WhatsApp call. We leave their messages on read. We don't respond to their messages. This is a very important friend that we neglect and don't pay the right attention to, even though this friend add value. Somebody say value. Value to our lives. This one friend that we all have in common. Anybody want to guess who this friend is? Say what? Jesus? I know y'all gonna say that. No. The Bible? No. The Holy Spirit? No. What friend could we all have in common? That's not Jesus. Y'all want to know? Y'all want to know? Somebody say something. Ourselves? No. See, that's what I did there. I just made it. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, yeah. You know, yeah. We really pay very, 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 the wrong type of attention that we pay to this friend. You say bad thing about this friend? We use this friend incorrectly? This friend, Ani, that I'm talking about, is frustration. Frustration. Somebody just whispered to themselves, how in the world frustration is my friend? Frustration. Frustration is an indication that you no longer belong on the level that you are. It is a gift from God, and sometimes even God himself, it is your friend. The problem is that when we get frustrated, we do the opposite thing that what we should do. We should use frustration in positive ways to propel us and influence us into doing what we are called to do. But instead, we lay with pigs like the prodigal son. Instead, we settle. And we find ourselves in these relationships that were meant to be seasonal. But because in one season it was good for you, you tell yourself that because it was good in one season, it was good permanently. It is good. We use frustration incorrectly. But frustration is your friend. If you think about your life and the many times that you've been frustrated, how many can say that they have almost every single time used frustration in a positive way? Frustration is your friend. It doesn't always feel or show up like your friend. It doesn't always look like your friend. But how many know that friends aren't not just supposed to let you feel good, but they're supposed to let you become better? And if you as a friend are going to help your companion to become better, sometimes you're going to have to agitate them a little bit. Sometimes you're going to have to frustrate them a little bit. See what happens? There's so many fake relationships and friendships in this world today that we could see our very loved one doing something that we know is not good. And we sit there and we say, absolute. A matter of fact, we say, it's none of my business. But you call yourself my friend. When a friend is trying to help you, listen to this. When a friend is trying to help you become the best version of yourself, sometimes that friend must step on your ego so that you can become the best version of who God wants you to be. Sometimes it hurts. Sometimes we don't want to hear it. A matter of fact, sometimes we don't even receive it. But when we're agitated and we're receiving that a positive or negative feedback from a friend, we ought to let it propel us into doing something or that very thing that we're called to do. If you go to Proverbs 27, verse 6, it says, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiply kisses. Wounds from a friend. I know the idea of friends is that they're supposed to be kind and be loving and caring. And all those things are true, but I believe the sentiment here that the author is trying to display is that a friend should be honest. A friend shouldn't sit back and watch you do stuff to hurt yourself and applaud. A friend shouldn't sit back and watch you do things that is to your detriment and don't do anything about it. A friend is in frustration, in the very midst of frustration, a friend's job, a friend's responsibility is to come there in it and show you while every single thing that is working out right now doesn't seem like it's working out for your good, that it will one day get better. And sometimes you must dismiss some relationships. Delete some apps. So that you can be, see, a lot of times you're frustrated is because of our own doing. Sometimes we make decisions that put us in a season and in a space of frustration. And because of what we're using to fuel the frustration, we don't see that you are being called from the level that you're at. We only get frustrated when we get sick and tired of the environment and the space that we're in. When something relationally is off. Something psychologically is off. Something spiritually is off. It brings about a level of frustration that should influence and encourage you to become the best version of yourself. I want to quickly here show you three ways God uses frustration, right? The three ways that God uses frustration to help you. Number one, what does it say? Come on, say it loud. What's it say? Motivation. It's God's way of ensuring that we don't settle in spaces and places that we don't belong in. So he'll agitate you a little bit. He'll motivate you a little bit. For so many of us, our love language is words of affirmation. And because our love language is words of affirmation, we don't like to be told nothing bad. We don't like to be told anything bad. I see you doing all this stuff, man. And I see that it looks like you're producing what seems to be good fruit. But God don't want you in this space. This is not the space God wants you in. He's called you. He's calling you in a different space. And one of the reasons that some of us, we are yet to feel fulfilled on the jobs that we are in is because God is calling you from that space. But you are only thinking, listen, this is the check I'm receiving. I'm going to make use of it. You can say all you want to say about what God wants. But the truth is, you telling me what God wants is not going to pay my bills. God is frustrating you, and he won't let you settle. He won't let you settle. So you'll be on this job doing the absolute best you can and still can't get a promotion. Doing the absolute best you can and still can't get a raise. And sometimes he got to orchestrate it in such a way where they fire you. You're fired. And it's the only way you get up and move. The truth is, we get complacent. We get comfortable with the things we know because we can't see around the corner. We don't know what's around the corner. And so many of us, it's so difficult to adopt and to adjust and to appreciate this thing called change. It's different. And so we sit back with the good that we know. I wrote something now I want to share with you. This is what we do right here, right? We will sit in certain seasons. Listen to this right here. We will sit in certain season until the pain of that season we're in becomes greater than the pain of change. We got to get to the place. Yeah, you have some people, I'm not going to call out anybody, but some people, Ricky, bro, they'll have all the symptoms. They'll have all the things that is showing that you go to run. You don't even wait on the ambulance. You need to be running to the hospital, running to the doctor. But we wait until our hands are actually falling off. We wait until our feet are falling off. My grandfather, who passed some years ago, he was notoriously known for not going to the doctor. As a matter of fact, this goes against the point that I'm trying to prove, but I'm going to say it anyway. The one time he went to the doctor, he died. He didn't die because I don't believe he was. Anyway, I digress. The fact of the matter is, this man's ankle was broken, visibly broken. You could look, your ankle is supposed to be this way. Why is it that? It don't make no sense. Nah, let me get, no, my all I need to do is get two stick and just tie it up with rope. Fix it, set it straight. He never went to the doctor, you know. And there's a little bit of him and me. Just a little bit. And so there was a time I was playing ball, man. I was playing basketball, and my finger jammed. If you're a baller, sometimes, you know what I mean? The ball jam your finger. And my finger, this finger actually, it was pointing out here, you know. But I was hot. I was on a roll. I was 18 for 18. I don't know. Preston, you don't know. I can teach it right now. Let's go in the crib. You know, and so I grabbed my hand and I just squeeze it real tight to get it back in. But the pain I was dealing with, it wasn't allowing me to squeeze it the way it should be squeezed so it could be set. And so though it wasn't as bad, it wasn't all the way out here, it was still like this. Sometimes we will have to sit in a space and realize that the pain that we are in is actually greater than the pain of change itself. And it's from that desperation sometimes we make some decisions that God wants us to make. It's from that space and that place that we say, I am sick of this. Can't deal with it no more. Can't listen to you no more. I'm over here trying to talk to you, and I'm fooling myself thinking that if you don't listen to God, that you'll listen to me. Can't deal with this relationship no more. It's from that space that they gotta fire us for us to realize God is calling you to start your own business. There's something, there's a seed, there's a gift that God has planted in your heart, and he wants to cultivate it so much. But you're in a space where you have barriers surrounding you. And so the cultivation that's needed cannot take place. And he got to get you out of that space. See what happened? A seed needs light. A seed needs water. And in the wrong environment, you plant that mango seed, no matter how rich that soil is, if that seed isn't in the right environment. For example, if you go to the North Pole and you plant a mango tree out there, it will never grow. It'll never grow. Wrong environment. It'll never grow. No matter how much you water that thing. It's in the wrong environment. So God gotta frustrate you so you can be motivated. Somebody say motivated. Motivated to run after what is yours. The second thing is acceleration. Acceleration. The concept and the principle of open doors. I'll say this. You know, we hear it all the time that God's going to open a door for you and stuff and whatnot. And sometimes God does open the door for you. But what happens because we have those blinders on, because we're stubborn, because we think we know what's best for us, what happens is that we walk past the door that God has opened. We walk by the door. We walk past it. This is not the door I want because it don't look like, you know what I'm saying? It don't look like how I thought it should look. This is not what I imagined in my mind. You know what I'm saying? And so we walk past the first girl. This is who you should have married. But nah, she's not who. You know what I'm saying? This is not what I pictured my wife to look like. It's not what I pictured my husband to look like. And we walk past the first and the second and the third. And what happened is that we miss opportunities. But there is a concept and a principle that Joel talks about in the Bible. It's called redemption. And redemption, to redeem, means to buy back. And so what God is doing is to buy back the time that you've wasted. And there are very, very, very different ways in which, Nate, Annalise, and Ani, run up here real quick. I'm going to show y'all something. Just come down here. Come down here. Come on, real quick, fast, run. And so I'm going to show you one way how God buys back time. Right? Here we go. Stand up. Right here. Face that way. Just come without the shoes. Come. I get comfortable in the. Here we go. And so stand right here. And so what's happening is, stay right here. So what's happening is, Ani by right has walked past all the doors. You know what I'm saying? She ain't study how she should study. She ain't take the class she was supposed to take. She ain't go to dance practice. She's walking past all the doors. And what redemption looks like is now she's in the back, behind Nate, right? Where she should have been in the front. Had she go in the first door that was open. But what redemption looks like is this. The first shall be last. And the last shall be first. When you have the desire to do what's right, even in the midst of doing what's wrong, God's going to buy back all the time. Come on, put your hands together for them. God's going to buy. Go ahead. And don't charge me. All right? God's going to buy back all the time that you've wasted. That's so much that he will do in one season, in 1 year, Ricky, way more than he did for you in 10 years. Not because you deserve it. Not because you deserve it, but because he's in the business of redeeming his children. Acceleration. First one was what? Motivation. Second one is what? Third one is, say it one more time, everybody. Recreation. The book of Genesis tells us a story about Noah. And how the world had gotten so bad that God decided to do a do-over. He told Noah, go get two of each animal, two horses, male and female, two lions, and every type of animals, every type of creature, everything he created, go get two of each. And if God could look at the very world he created and decide to do a do-over, what makes you think that it is too late for you to walk in the purpose that he is calling you to walk in? What makes you think that he won't do the same thing for you? He'll motivate you with frustration. He'll accelerate the process for you. And if he needs to, he will recreate just like he did. And so I want to use all this to shape this story that we read in Mark chapter 5. In Mark chapter 5, matter of fact, if you just read the entire chapter, you'll realize that Mark, the first time this woman was mentioned, before I even get to the woman, Mark chapter 5 records the story of this man who was, the Bible tells us, he was a synagogue leader. And a synagogue leader, Tracy, and the Pharisees, they were BFFs. And what do we know about the Pharisees? They don't mess with Jesus. They don't mess with Jesus. The responsibilities of a synagogue ruler was to lead out in worship, take care of the temple, to ensure that everything concerning the synagogue was done. And they were hand in hand with the Pharisees. And so you can imagine this man called Jairus. You can imagine that over dinner sometimes they would talk about what did Jesus do? Oh, they're using voodoo. You can imagine they would say bad stuff about Jesus. All manner of things. You can imagine that he overheard the plot. Yes. He probably, I don't know if they had a vote or not, but if they did, I can just imagine. Yeah, I vote. Yeah. But it took him losing someone that he birthed, not physically, but a daughter who's now sick. And I imagine with all types of different doctors, and the Bible tells us they tried a lot of things. That's what happened. A lot of times we run to everything first before we run to Jesus. We go to the, and I'm respect the doctor, I'm a respect the banker and whatnot. The profession, they have their gifts and their talents. But how about running to your Savior first? So I imagine that he tried a bunch of stuff, but it wasn't producing the fruit that he wanted. His daughter wasn't being healed. The daughter was still sick. She was on her way to die. And I imagine it was from a place of frustration that he decided, you know what? I've tried it y'all's way. I tried it every single thing y'all said to do. Y'all send the chief of surgery, everybody. Y'all send the best physician. And no matter what they did, my daughter is still about to die. And so now I'm a go try this Jesus. I'm going to see the first time we're introduced to him, he is talking to Jesus. The first time. And so he goes to Jesus and he said, my daughter is sick. And I would like you to come and touch her. Now, the Bible doesn't tell you that the daughter had faith. The Bible don't tell you that she believed. But this is the thing that stood out to me. This is the thing that stood out to me in verse, I think, 24. This right here. So Jesus went with him. So Jesus went with him. You know why this stood out to me, Ricky? Huh? Every single time you read the Bible, every time you read that there is a large crowd following Jesus, people are following Jesus. I want the type of faith, not just the type of faith that would make me follow Jesus, but the type of faith that would make Jesus follow me. Do you have faith enough? Is your faith firm enough that he's going to decide to follow you? So Jesus decided to follow him, and the Bible tells you here that a large crowd followed and pressed around him. Large crowd, they were following and pressing around him. And as he was making his way to heal this little girl, the Bible tells you there was a woman. We don't even know the woman's name. The Bible tells you that there was a woman, and she told herself, listen, I've been dealing with this blood issue for 12 years. 12 years. She's now broke. She spent all she had, the Bible said. And I've been dealing with this for 12 years, and I'm sick of this. So if I could just touch what it is that's touching him, I believe that I'll be made whole. And so she went, and she grabbed a hold, the Bible says, the hem of his garment. And immediately, she felt in her body, the Bible says, that she was healed. Now here comes Jesus. Who touched me? The disciples respond. Well, we in a crowd. We're going, what do you mean, who touched you? But Jesus recognized there was something that was particular, something that was different about this touch. He said virtue, some version says, virtue left him, power left him. Now look at the contrast. At the very beginning, verse 21, at the very beginning, you had one person that was saying, hey, my daughter is sick, come and touch. Several verses down, we now have a woman, look at the contrast, a woman that is saying, I don't need you to come and touch. You don't need to come and touch me. Matter of fact, you don't even have to let me touch you. I just want to touch your clothes. I want to touch the hem of your garment. That is enough. Some of us, we're at a space of faith, the type of faith where we need God to come do some touching. And for some of us, we're like, yo, I just need to touch your kerchief, your rag, your clothes. I just need a touch. She was sick of what she was going through. That it caused her. But here's the thing, right? Now, when Jesus did any type of healing, when he healed the blind, what happened? What happened when he healed the blind? What happened? The blind. When he healed the blind, what happened? They got healed. How do we know they got healed? Huh? The Bible tells us when he healed the blind, a matter of fact, one story tells you that he healed this man, and the man opened his eyes and he said he saw that he sees men like trees. And so God, Jesus healed him again, and now he could see clearer. When if you were lame, the dude that was sitting by the pool of Bethesda, he got healed and he got up. We saw the evidence of the healing immediately. But she was dealing with this blood issue. She was bleeding for 12 years. And the Bible tells you in Leviticus, I think chapter 20. 4:25 or 25:4. It tells you when you were a woman, it was your time of the month. You were unclean. You had to remove yourself. You had to be in quarantine. And because of the nature of this issue, when she touched, she felt. Bible says she touched and she felt in her body. But there was, she ain't checked. You should, you know what I'm saying? She felt it. But sometimes we feel something and it's not, you know, you ever feel like there's an ant crawling on you but there's nothing there? She felt. Jesus told her that your faith, I want to read it. It says, who touched my clothes? It says, you see the people crowding against you. But Jesus kept looking around to see. Now she had to confess because Jesus was like, who is it? Who is it that touched me? And she felt troubled. She said, then a woman, knowing what she had, what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. Then he said to her, watch this, daughter, your faith has healed you. This is the part here that grabbed me. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. Now, why did he tell her to go in peace? She didn't have a peace problem. She had a physical issue. And he said, okay, your faith has healed you. Why? Why? You think maybe she was wondering if next month, is going to start over again? She was dealing with this thing for 12 years. She couldn't check like the blind man could see. Like the lame could walk, even though she felt something, She couldn't see that the bleeding had stopped. How many of us have experienced, you know, I get the opportunity from time to time, Warren, to hear patients who are dealing with cancer, they ring that bell. They ring that bell. And a lot of them, you see them ring the bell, happy but still looking terrified. Because there is a emotional turmoil that comes with physical ailments. Right? You go to the doctor and you take this medicine and you believe a little bit that this medicine gonna work, but then you're not really seeing the manifestation or evidence of this actual miracle. You're not seeing the effects of this medicine. And so you have this doubt in your mind that seemed to be crippling. It's working now, but is it gonna stay this way? You think Jesus maybe knew exactly what she was dealing with emotionally, mentally, that he said, yo, go in peace. You are freed from whatever it is that's holding you back. You are freed from whatever it is that's holding you down. You are at the point where you are saying, I'm sick of this. And this is just what I want to leave with you here as I'm closing, is that so many of us, we are dealing with things that are crippling in our lives. We're dealing with family members. We're dealing with anxiety. We're dealing with depression. We're dealing with fear. We're dealing with physical ailments, some of us. There's so many things that personally and quietly we're dealing with, and we come to church and we smile and we laugh and we sing and we go out and we help and we do all that we know to do. But the truth is, on the inside, we are terrified because we don't know if that prayer and that anointing that I just received just now, we don't know, is it going to work? And sometimes it's not just a physical ailment. Sometimes it's applying for a job. You know God is calling you to work in this field. And all you're trying to do is to get to a place where you can not just feel fulfilled, but you can be earning. You're maximizing your income potential. And all you want to do is maximize it so you can provide for your family. And you know you're trying to be obedient here. You're trying to do, but every single time you hit submit that application, there is a doubt in the back of your mind that they won't call you back. God is calling you to do something special. He's calling you to do something special. But the special that he is calling you to do, you don't have the money in the account to deal with it. This don't make sense, God. You saying do this, but I keep running into roadblocks. I'm sick of this. And he's saying, I've already spoken the word. You can touch the hem of my garment, or I could come and touch you. But either way, I want you to go in peace. And know that whatever that issue was, know that whatever the enemy is, whatever is being represented by the enemy in the season of your life, just like he told Moses, he's going to say to you, the enemy you are facing today, you will see no more. It's an issue of peace. Some of us, we've been healed. We've been given the loan, the money. We've been given the money to do this project. We've been given the money to start this business. We've done what we needed to do as it relates to the assignment God has placed on our lives. But we still have a doubt. I've never done this before. I've never started a business before. I've never started a YouTube channel before. I've never written a letter to a corporation before. Never done it before. We have these doubts. What if I ask her to marry me and she says no? God, I've been praying for a wife, but I've never seen a relationship work. The divorce rate is sky high. I have this gift of singing, but I'm an introvert. I'm shy. He's saying, go in peace. Peace is yours. It belongs to you. If he is calling you into a certain space, it simply means that he has equipped you with all that you need for it to work. That business is going to be successful. That relationship is going to be great. You're going to get the money. You're going to get the job. You're going to be successful. Not because society determines if you're successful. Not because you'll make a lot of money. But you're going to be successful as long as you remain obedient. So go in peace. And know that whatever it is God has calling you, has called you to do, or is calling you to do, that you could walk, you have backative. That's what they say. You got backative. You got support. He got your back. He got your back. My appeal is simple. You're in need of peace. For whatever reason, you're like, God, I'm frustrated. I'm honest enough. I don't want to sound ungrateful. I'm not saying my problems are like the problems of X person. I know you're blessing me, but God, I know you have more in store for me. And because you have more in store for me, I'm not settling. I don't want to settle. And because I don't want to settle, I'm frustrated because I want everything you have for me. Right now, I want it. I want it. Try me, God. Try me. Send a job right now, God, and see if I'm not ready. Send a relationship right now, God, and see if I'm not ready. Send the money right now, God, and see if I'm not ready. Provide the opportunity right now, God, and see if I'm not ready. Try me today, God. I'm not ready because of my own strength. I'm not trying to be arrogant. I'm not being arrogant. I'm ready. Because this, I know, is what you've called me to do. And I can only do it because of the strength that I have in you. So what do you need peace for? And if that's you, stand with me as we pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we're so sick and tired of settling. We're tired of dealing with anxiety and fear and anything that is crippling us, God, from doing the very thing that you've called us to do. We're at the point where we recognize that frustration is a gift from you. And God, that we could use it to motivate us. We could use it to move things a little faster. We could use it, God, if necessary, to recreate what we have destroyed. So right now, Father, we are believing that every single thing that you have for us, that it belongs to us. So whatever it is, God, that's hindering us from walking in our purpose, from walking in a place where we can experience peace, God, I pray in the name of Jesus, you remove it. We thank you, God, for restoring us. We thank you, God, for redeeming us. We thank you, God, that you know what's best for us. And sometimes you tell us no, because no is best. We thank you that you don't always let us have our way. We ask that you would implant in us a spirit that would cause us to trust you more. Father, that you would help us see every now and then around the corner. That every single thing will work out for the benefit of those who love you, and we love you. So give us the peace. Those who are experiencing heartbreak, give us the peace. Mental, emotional turmoil, God, give us the peace. When we have received that healing, that restoration, whatever it is we receive, God, I pray that will not just sound as though we've received it, but we'll act as though we've received it. Continue to move in every single person in this room, those who are watching online, give us that peace today. And when time on earth shall be no more, Father, we want to spend forever with you. So save us in your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, put your hands together for the word.